Okay, Joel, I want to give you your full 3 hours. When you start, how about just introduce yourself a little bit, because not everybody knows what a wonderful guy you are. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for Joel, and Lord, I thank you for this blessed man, and pray that this morning as he shares your word with us, that he would be anointed and speak out your truths and declare your kingdom. But Lord, I also pray that we will be receptive, because he can say the truth, but if we don't receive it, then it's wasted. So Lord, open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, everybody. I'm Joel Hall. I'm sure you've all seen me or heard of me somewhere at some point, either up there or, oh, that's Ken's grandson. Yeah, that one's a big one. So I think it was a couple months ago, I was like, oh no, it's farther back than that. Remember the men's breakfast that didn't happen? I was apparently going to speak then, that's what they wanted. I think that was like 8 months ago. Yeah, so here I am now, 8 months later or whatever it is. And you gave me time to prepare. I think I changed my sermon idea 2 or 3 times. Which is pretty good, based off of my grandpa being able to prepare 6 sermons in one night. That's pretty good. How many, Grandma? A lot. So I got my little thing here. We'll see how we do, but it starts off with aligning with God. If we're not aligned with God, how do we go through life? And this sort of came up for me. We were continuing our before marriage counseling after marriage, because we didn't finish, and our counselor, it's a couple named Matt and Kelly, and they're great, but we're in the middle of our session, and we're talking about something totally not what he brought up, and he was like, you know, I feel like I have to bring this up. Are you aligned with God in your understanding of what each other want to do for the future? And I was like, and he was like, because that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that you guys need to align with God about what you want to do in your future. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's right. I should spend some more time on that. So from going through that, I was thinking and praying and looking through my Bible here. And I stumbled upon a couple things that I'd like to share with everybody. And the first thing that we're going to start with actually is a funny thing that people might quite like, is Yoda advising Luke to finish his training in Dagobah. So we'd like to play that. I sort of want to do a little bit of a question and answer thing, some partially through here. I have some different topics that could go well with that. So, what was Luke trying to run and do? Anybody know? Put your hand up. Barb? He's trying to rescue. He's trying to go rescue and do it without finishing his training, without being aligned with the Force, without knowing what he was supposed to do. He was following feelings, just himself. So, I would like to keep on moving on. And what is alignment? That's a tire, if everybody can tell. And when you get in alignment, your tire gets twisted left or right to get back into the center. But if we are twisted a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, then we wear very weirdly or awkwardly. And we have some things that we can do well, but other things we just get totally stumped in, and you don't know why, and you're really confused. Because I know that happens to me. I know I walk through life, and I think that I know how to do everything, and do this thing, and do that thing, and solve this problem, and solve that problem, and fix this thing, and fix that thing. And then I'm like, oh yeah, but I can build a unit at work. It's not the same at all. I can go to work, and I can build whatever I'm doing at work, but if I go home, and I can't think straight, and I can't have a proper conversation, and I can't finish sentences, and be a supporting person in that team, then why does it matter that I can go to work and build a unit? I need to be aligned in the center that I can go to work and build that unit and come home and build that home at the same time. I think a lot of us get stuck in wanting to do really, really well at work, but then coming home and being super burnt out and tired and not knowing what to do with ourselves. We just sit and go on our phones and watch TV or whatever somebody likes to do. And then we make distractions for ourselves and say, oh, I'm tired because of work. And then the wife or husband's like, but dinner needs to be made and I'm doing the laundry. And you're like, but I'm really tired because of work. So we need to really align ourselves with what God has for us in our lives and align ourselves with the people that have been put into our lives by God so that we can move forward in that straight alignment and be able to do both clearly and with His guidance. So, as I was going through my Bible, I think I honestly don't read my Bible enough. And I have about four or five of them that have been given to me by different people at different times. So this one here is from my grandpa, I think when I was 13. Right? 13, 18? It has your name in it. Yeah. It's good. Oh, it is very long here. I don't know if I can find it, but it's impressive. Oh, yeah. Here's your WOCC number and stuff right there. And your email. That's pretty good. But he gave this to me a long time ago, and I remember I was going to be super down. And I was like, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to find things and listen to the Lord. And then I think I remember this one time where I was going through, and I was really into James. For whatever reason, I was into James, and I was circling things. And I was like, oh, wow, this must be important. So I end up lining on to James 4, 1 to 12. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. That may you spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, you don't know that friendship of the world is hatred towards God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live within us envies intensely? But He gives us more grace. That is what the Scripture says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve and mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? So that is what part of what I circled or outlined from years and years and years ago when I was super young. And it just so happened to align with God. What it's saying is that we focus on the wrong things, just very simply. We focus on judging each other and trying to fix each other's problems. We focus on riches and greed. We try and make our own laws instead of trusting what the Lord has already given us. We try to move and do what we want to do instead of going to God and asking Him what He wants us to do. And I know many times in my life I have been at this place of not knowing what to do and struggling and sitting there in the middle of two or three different decisions and being unsure. And just to sort of make it in a very funny, sort of funny way, said Nava found this meme one time, and I can't remember exactly what the full thing was, but it was you're having an argument, and there's two different decisions, and you don't know which one to choose, and you're trying to choose between the two, But then they say that there's a secret third way that you don't know about. So there's God's secret third way. We think there's only two ways, but God probably has a third way that we haven't listened to yet. We're sitting there going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And God is like, but this one over here, and we miss it every time. And then we're like, oh, we're really struggling right now in our life, and we can't afford things, and we bought a too expensive place or too expensive thing, or we spend too much money on groceries or whatever. And God's like, but you could do this instead. And we're like, no, but we've had this our whole lives. We want this now and forever. And he's like, but you know, you could spend a little bit less. You could do a little bit less with your time. You could spend more time at home. You don't have to go out and eat all the time. But we don't like to do that because we want to go to restaurants. We want to eat a lot of food. We want to eat our favorite stuff. And God's like, that is not what I have for you right now. Spend time with me. Spend time at home. Spend time in your Bible. Spend time praying. And I would like to make a point that the Israelites had no clue what they were doing. They had zero clue what they were doing. And this is a passage where the prophets were warning them that God was going to come and judge them. And God gives very clear, very, very clear messages from his prophets. They come and they say this. They say, this is what the Lord says. For three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not turn my back on your wrath. They sell the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as upon the dust of the ground. They deny justice to the oppressed. Father and son use the same girl and so profane my holy name. They lie down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge. In the house of their God they drink wine taken from vines. I destroy the Amorite before them. Through their tall and their cedars and their strong oaks, I destroy his fruit, his roots below. I brought you up out of Egypt, and I led you for 40 years in the desert. I gave to you the land of the Amorites. I also raised up prophets from among your sons, the Nazarites, from among your young men. This is not true, people of Israel, declares the Lord. Is this not true, people of Israel, declares the Lord? But you made the Nazarites drink wine. You commanded the prophets not to prosify. And then I will crush you. And the cart crushes when loaded with grain. The swift will not escape. The strong will not muster their strength. And the warrior will not save his life. The archer will not stand on ground. The fleet-footed soldier will not get away. And the horse will not save his life. Even the bravest warriors will flee naked on that day, declares the Lord. And that's right before he goes into the witnesses. Hear this word the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt. You only have I chosen all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for your sins. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Does a lion roar in a thicket when he has no prey? Does he growl in his den when he has caught nothing? Does a bird fall into the trap on the ground where there's no snare has been set? Does a trap spring up from the earth where there is nothing to catch? When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has the Lord not caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken, but who can prosify? Proclaim to the in the fortress of Ashad, to the fortress of Egypt, assemble yourselves on the mountains of Samaria, see the great unrest within her and the oppression of her people. They do not know how to do right, declares the Lord. Who hoard plunder and loot in their fortress? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And it goes on to say that he will destroy the altars of Bethel. The horns of the altars will be cut off and fall to the ground. I will tear down the winter house along with the summer house. The houses adorned with ivory will be destroyed and the mansions will be demolished, declares the Lord. So I want to point out that God is looking at Israel and saying, why do you care so much about riches? Why do you care so much about doing immoral things? Why do you care so much about worshiping gods that aren't me? And for us in this life, it's our phones, it's It's movies, it's entertainment, it's pop culture. And it is our houses and our wanting the big house and wanting to go on big trips. We really have to look at ourselves and look at what God wants for us and ask Him, is that where we should be putting our time and our money and our effort into going on these big trips and having these big houses and doing all these big things? God says, no. Sometimes it is not what I want you to do, even though the world tells you that that is what you're supposed to do. Make more money, go to work, make more money, go to work, make more money, go to work, make more money, go to work. That's what capitalism tells us to do. And we listen. Why do we listen? Why do we make more money, go to work, make more money, go to work? Why don't we sit down with the Lord, intentionally pray with Him, ask Him what His purpose is for us? And if we need to make more money and go to work, and if we need that bigger house, and if we need those more groceries, and if we need that game station that we don't have, we have to really sit down and ask Him. And we forget that part. We go to work, back from work, to work, back from work, to work, back from work, and we eat in between. There's a little sleeping in there too, depending on who you are. And that's all our lives are. And we're so caught up in having to go to work and come home and maintain the house and go to work and come home and maintain the house. And we're paying for the house. But then God's like, ah, but I want you to go and give some stuff to the homeless this weekend. And you're like, but I need to work more so I can pay for my house. And He's like, well, I didn't have a house. I walked around. I didn't know where to lay down. I had people follow me around. They were my disciples. They learned from me. That's all I needed. We've been learning in the Practicing the Way series. Nava's been talking to me. It's the thing that we're doing with the young adults about being disciples to Jesus. And they explain in a really cool way where they're saying, they sort of describe what a rabbi is and why the disciples would decide to jump out of their jobs and follow Him. And what he was explaining was is that a rabbi was so revered, he had been in school and learning and teaching for so long, that to be called and told to follow a rabbi was like the best thing in the world. That was like your goal. You wanted to leave your job and leave your work, go follow this rabbi. And what God calls us to do, what Jesus calls us to do, is be disciples in that same way. We're supposed to leave our job and stop doing the thing that we think we're supposed to be doing and just follow Him. But most of us stay in our lives and walk around and say, oh yeah, I'm a disciple of Jesus. But you don't pray in the morning. You don't pray in the afternoon. You don't pray in the evening. You don't fast. You don't speak to Him. You don't talk to other people about Him. You don't try and learn from the Bible. We just sit there and go to work and come back and go to work and come back and go to work and come back and eat food and sleep. That's all we do. And I've been caught in this. I've been caught in this many times. Because I'm worried about something at work, and I'm worried about this work politics. And then you go to work, and you deal with the work politics. And then you come home, and you're like, oh, good, I dealt with the work politics. And then Nava's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, oh, I'm really anxious because of work. She's like, but you're home. Aren't you home? You're not at work right now. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right, but work's really stressful. She's like, ugh. But I say that because I'm sure it happens with all of us. We go to work and we're really stressed about work and we do work and we come back from work and our wife or our husband's like, so how's your day? It's like, I'm really stressed from work. And they're like, well, that's great, you're home now. And you're like, can I talk to you about work? And they're like, sure, but you're home now. And that's what God wants from us. When we go to work, He says, what about me? Where am I in your work? Where am I when you're at home? Where am I when you're sleeping? Why are your dreams of things that your dreams shouldn't be about? It's because you didn't focus on me. Because you didn't call me in. You didn't ask me to take care of your night, to take care of your day. You didn't start your day with me. And when we don't do that, we have anger, fighting, confusion, wavering, worry, restlessness, anxiety. And you could extend that one as far as you wanted to extend it with all your different emotions that you feel every single day. Because we are all culprits of not spending enough time with Jesus, especially in prayer. Find time to be away and intentionally pray. With this time came miracles in ministry. God would always go, and he would be away with the Lord. He would pray in a solitary place. Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And that's all we need to know. There's no, why did he do that? It's because he wanted to go be a solitary place to pray. Early in the morning, before anything happened. What do we do early in the morning? Oh, I need my coffee. Oh, I need gas in my car because I forgot gas today. Oh, I got to drive all the way to get the gas. And oh, I didn't make coffee at home, so I got to go get a coffee at Tim Hortons. And then you go to Tim Hortons and you get your coffee and you're like, ah, I need to get some groceries for later today, but work starts in half an hour. So you're like, oh, work's 5 minutes away, I'll go get groceries. You drive 10 minutes, go get groceries. You're like 5 minutes in the store, 5 minutes out, and then you're driving to work, and you're almost late for work because you had to get groceries, and you had to get your coffee, and you forgot to get gas the day before. And then you're like, oh, okay, I'm at work, and what is this guy doing? Let's say he's in a manufacturing shop like I am. He's making stuff, and his boss comes over to him, and he's like, you were a little late today, right? He's like, oh, yeah, I had to get groceries. It's like, what? You had to get groceries? Yeah. So 6:30 groceries, went to the convenience store, got a bag of chips. It's like, why'd you get a bag of chips? It's like, I need a snack for today. He's like, why didn't you get that yesterday? And that's what God's asking us. He's like, instead of going to the grocery store, instead of going to get that coffee that you need to get, why didn't you spend some time in your car praying with me? You had to drive. You probably drive half an hour to the grocery store, half an hour to Tim Hortons, and 10 minutes to work, and 10 minutes back from work from the grocery store. You didn't spend a single minute of that with me. Jesus would go and spend solitary time early in the morning before he saw anybody. Everybody would be asleep, and he would go, and that's what he would do. And it says it very, very many times. I have more, but there's a lot more of those verses. You can find them. A solitary place, overnight, Jesus would spend as much time as he possibly could, especially during ministry, especially during hard work. I think sometimes we say, oh, but Jesus was doing that in ministry, so I'll only spend time with God when I'm doing ministry. Well, going to work is ministry. Your coworkers don't know Jesus necessarily. Your boss maybe doesn't. Maybe if you do go get that coffee, the person at the Tim Hortons doesn't. And they're going to ask you, oh, what are you going to do this morning? And you're going to say, oh, I got to go get groceries. No, you're going to say, I was praying in my car. I was praying with Jesus. And they'll be like, what do you mean? You're like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. That's what I do in my drive to work. I pray with Jesus. Like, oh, what does that mean? How does that work? And then you start a whole beautiful conversation instead of going to the grocery store. That was just because you prayed in the morning. Wow. A lot of us are looking forward to going and talking to people and sharing our experiences and sharing what the Lord has done for us. And then when he gives us the chance, we go to the grocery store. We go for food. Maybe we pay a bill we forgot to pay, because those are all very, very important. Jesus says, nah, I'm more important first. I'll remind you of those things. I'll remind you to go get those chips. I'll remind you to go get the coffee. I'll remind you to pay the bill. But right now it's for me. And we miss that. All the time we miss that. So let's not miss that. Another verse here I have is 5:15-16. It says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So not only did he withdraw solitary, it was lonely. It's very interesting how it says lonely. Not only did he go to pray solitary with God, but he intentionally made himself lonely. That's weird, eh? Why do we always need to be doing something? Listening to music, listening to a podcast, thinking about how bad the workday is going to be. No, we're allowed to be lonely. We're allowed to be solitary. Because Jesus is our friend. Jesus is our partner. Jesus is our Savior. And he makes us not lonely. So if we go off to be lonely and we're like, oh, I'm so scared, nobody's with me, nobody's going to be praying with me, I won't have anybody to be a prayer partner with. Jesus is your prayer partner. Don't forget about that. Jesus is in your life, with you, at all times. If you go off and be lonely, you're not actually lonely. If you go off to a solitary place, you're not actually alone. It's just, don't do it in our own strength and with what we want to be doing in our lives. We might want to go to the grocery store, we might want to go get a coffee, but God's like, no, you're going to spend some time with me. And you're like, but I always go and get a coffee. He's like, well, too bad. You're going to spend some time with me this morning. So let's not forget to spend intentional time with God. Psalms 121, 2-1 says, I look up to the mountains. Where does my strength come from? The mountains? No, my strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains. And I specifically like that version of the verse because it explains it in a greater way. It's saying that God made everything. God made our car, God made our time, God made the world, God made your coffee, God made your groceries, God made your work, God made your boss. So let's spend a little time with the person who made everything that you're doing. Is praying all we can do? Everybody says, no. There's fasting, there's worship, there's group prayer, there's going to church, there's obedience. There's obedience, that's a big one. That's very in alignment with God. Was there?
It's kind of huge.
It's huge. Obedience is huge. Yeah, we don't have alignment without obedience. That's a good point. Without obeying what God wants for us, without obeying God's commandments, without listening to his laws like the Israelites did not, without knowing that we don't need all this stuff like the Israelites did not, like our culture does not, let's look at that and obey what he teaches us, to spend time being a disciple to him, learning from him, growing from him, spending time with him as much as we possibly can, like the disciples in the Bible did. So we can pray, fast, worship, but those other two we can do on another day. Because I did prayer today. So if you want me to come again, I can speak about fasting or worship. But yeah, I'd like to pray to lead us out. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you have given all of us. That word is not just for me in our marriage counseling session. The word of being aligned with you and understanding your heart for things, to spend intentional time with you. Spending intentional time is not just from our young adult sessions. It's not something we just learn in a session and then forget about. Lord, I pray that it becomes very, very important to us to spend intentional time with you and to put aside all the things of the world, the things of this earth, riches and homes and money and bills and work and groceries and food and eating. And I pray that we spend more time with you in the morning. I pray that we pray. I pray that we pray with you, that we fast with you, that we worship with you, and that we do not forget you because you created us. You created everything that we do, everything that we are, everything that we see, everything that we step on. Nothing that we step on, nowhere that we move, has not been touched by you already. And I pray that we remember to include you in our day, because we do not know what will happen when we bring you into it. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.